Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. As you're listening, you can keep emailing in questions for Mayor Rozworski by sending those to our email, ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. And the mayor is joining us remotely today. Good afternoon, Mayor.
Hi, Emily. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. So we were chatting a little bit before the show about this, so I'll just go ahead and lay this out for everybody. Lots of conversation right now across the country about law enforcement and reform, how law enforcement operates in communities. And so I wanted to start today off by talking about a concept that keeps coming up lately, and it's the phrase defunding the police, and maybe to bring some clarity to what that term can mean. And a simple way to explain it might be to say that it means moving money away from police department budgets and then reinvesting it instead into, for example, more mental health care resources for the community, or redirecting it towards social services like addressing homelessness or taking a look at housing issues. So in other words, it doesn't necessarily equal no police. It's another way of looking at how money is spent in a community. So thinking of it in that way, what are some of the aspects of that kind of concept that could possibly be applied here in Lafayette? You know I was asking, you know, what are all the different types of calls, for example, that police respond to in Lafayette? You know, the big spectrum of things that they're asked to handle. How could this apply there?
Well, I mean, you know, in general, and again, I think it's very important that we don't lump all police departments and all communities into the same basket, and all budgets into the same basket. And I think, you know, we need to make sure that we are really thinking this through in a thoughtful way, and different communities may be differently. But, you know, here in the city of Lafayette, you know, I've came out already and said on TV 18 that I am not in favor of defunding the police department, and that people really need to stop and think about what that actually means. And in our community, if we want to, you know, keep it specific to us, you know, what that would mean is that, do you want to get rid of the school resource officers that we have in our schools working with our young people? Do you want to get rid of our DARE program that's out there working with our young people and with the Boys and Girls Club and Hannah Center and the different organizations that work with our youth? Do you want to get rid of our community outreach division, which did over 400 presentations to the community last year and runs our Citizen Police Academy and our Junior Police Academy and teach women how to defend themselves if they're attacked, and how businesses can help make themselves more safe for their employees from burglaries and robberies and different things? And said over 400 of those types of presentations, because that's what you're talking about. Because if you look at a police budget, most of the budget is salary, insurance, benefits, social security, things like that. I mean, the only way to really defund a police department to make any significant extra money available is to get rid of personnel. I mean, personnel make up 60 to 70% of the total budget. And I don't think people want to get rid of those programs, or the ability for us to do background investigations to the level we do to ensure that we get the best police applicant possible, because finding good applicants is incredibly difficult. So we assign a whole group of people that do that. We'll actually travel anywhere in the United States to do a background check on somebody and actually talk to neighbors, in-laws, old boyfriends or girlfriends, anything that might tip us off that we're not hiring the best candidate possible. And so when you think about it, I don't think anybody wants to get rid of any of them. And when you take all those people and take them out of the mix, that actually leaves a pretty small number of what would be patrol officers just out patrolling the streets every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And they get days off and vacation days and get sick and things like that. And so I don't, that's just not something that I'm supportive of. And I don't think anybody that went through our budget here in Lafayette would look at that and see any excess or any waste, or want to give up any of those programs that I just described, because you do have to, as you indicated, we run all types of calls from everything from a homicide to a rape to a robbery to an arson to a car theft to a burglary to a family disturbance to a lost child, people fighting over property lines, somebody got their lawnmower stolen, to a bank robbery. And so I know that when people call in with problems, they expect a police response. They want a police officer to come. When something's serious, they want multiple police officers to be able to come, and they want them to be able to get there in a very short period of time. Nobody wants to call 911 and somebody say, well, we'll be there in 15 or 20 minutes. Hang on. I suspect that people are looking at this, but in my opinion, I don't believe that's what the citizens of Lafayette want and expect from their police department, the majority of them. And I personally don't think that's the answer. Now, there could be police departments that spend money on stuff that's not that relevant or all kinds of things that maybe they could allocate some of that money. But when you look at our budget here, it's very clear what we spend it on and what people do. In fact, we could use a few extra policemen, and that's why the community was very supportive last year in actually voting and very supportive of increasing the income tax by a little bit so the police departments could actually get additional funding, because we have to do so much work in cyber crime now and technology crime where technology is used that takes hours and hours and hours of people trying to research and dig through different things, that, you know, we need some help staying caught up on those types of crimes. And again, those people want their case investigated. They want, you know, they want answers. And so I think that's something people really need to think through, and all the potential ramifications from actually reducing staff, because that's what most police departments would have to do to come up with any meaningful money. And I think it's also important that people realize too, because I did this, I got the numbers a while back, through the Lafayette Housing Authority and our work with the money that comes through the HUD and then money that comes through Indiana Housing Community Development for programs that we administer, like Fresh Start, Shelter Plus Care, and then the voucher programs. When you talk about affordable housing, we pay over $7 million a year in rent payments for people here in the Tippecanoe County and a little bit of the surrounding region. And so, and that's not even counting the money that we give to Habitat for Humanity, Faith CDC, the money we give to Lafayette Transitional Housing, the money we give to LUM, the money we give to Salvation Army. So I think there really is an educational process here. I'm not sure that people fully understand exactly what local government does, what the police department does, how we work with state and federal partners to administer programs here, and how much money actually goes to some of those things. I think there's probably an information gap that we all need to work on as we work to get better, because there's always ways to improve. But I also think people need to have a full understanding of what actually is taking place before we kind of just throw these ideas out that maybe don't have all the research behind them, or is not one size fit all type situation, that each community is a little bit different.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm Emily Seiberg, and we're talking right now with our guest this week, Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks for joining us. Remember, as you're listening, you can email questions for the mayor to ask@wbaa.org. And speaking of kind of the, you know, does one size fit all kind of approach here, and just generally talking about over the past week, the concentration on police reform and what different law enforcement branches are doing. On last week's Ask the Mayor, West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis said he'd signed a pledge put forward by former President Barack Obama, asking mayors to examine police use of force in their communities, and then at the end of that, essentially to report back on their findings in 90 days. So do you know about this pledge?
I heard that. I tried to look that up. There's a couple different pledges it looked like that President Obama was involved with. One was called My Brother's Keeper. Mm-hmm. And then there was a few others. And so I'm taking a look at that. But I can tell you that, and as we talk to people, I think this is really important that when you look at some of the ideas that have come forth that people are really, really concerned about and some of the reforms they see, like departments having body cameras. So we've had body cameras for 2 years of testing them, and now we've been wearing body cameras going on our fifth year of having body cameras. I know I don't believe they did in Minnesota. I don't believe they do in Louisville, where some of these other places take place, some of these incidents have taken place, and I understand people are calling for that, but we actually do that here already, and we're actually going into the next five-year contract of body cameras for our department with the next generation. And I don't know that people realize that contract for that five-year period is $2.1 million. That's for the cameras, the maintenance, and then the storage of the footage. As you know, because that's downloaded every day, hundreds of cameras, body cameras downloaded. And so we've had cameras in our cars for almost 20 years. Again, I don't think people probably realize that. I mean, we have a use of force continuum. We don't teach the chokehold in our application process. People were calling for testing and questions about implicit bias and racism. We've been doing that for years. When you take a polygraph at the Lafayette Police Department, you get asked questions about racism and implicit bias. We've been doing that for years. We also have a psychological exam that's conducted by a third-party independent organization that also asks questions about racism and implicit bias. We've been doing that for years. So, like I said, a lot of these things that people are talking about on a national level, which is great. I think it's fantastic. We've actually been doing that here for years. One of the things that is coming out that I really like is keeping a national registry of all police officers that do get in trouble so they can't jump from department to department, somehow slip through the cracks and get hired somehow when they've had problems at other department. I think a national registry like that is great. A national registry on use of force or police shootings. Again, we have a review of all of our police shootings. We send them to the prosecutor, every one of them, to see if criminal charges should be filed against the police officer involved. And we have a 5-member civilian merit board, and we have since 1971. So our chief of police cannot hire a policeman. He cannot fire a policeman. He doesn't promote a policeman to sergeant, lieutenant, captain, or the deputy chief. So there's no good old boys network. That's all done by 5 civilian people that aren't policemen. They're 5 civilians that live inside the city limits of Lafayette that make up our merit board. So when they talk about having citizens involved in the hiring and the firing, the discipline, we already do that. We've been doing that since 1971 here. So again, I think, you know, when I tell people that, they're like, we didn't realize that. We didn't know you guys had a merit board. We didn't know you were already wearing body cameras. We didn't know you already asked those questions during actual polygraph exam while you're hooked up to a machine to see if you're lying. So, I mean, again, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are taking place in this country that need to. There are changes that absolutely need to take place, but there are changes that need to place at different levels depending on where you are, because there are a lot of police departments like ours that are doing a lot of things already and have been for many years that are being called for in these reforms.
So at a protest downtown this past Saturday, a demonstrator said she had made an appointment to come and speak with you, I believe this next week, and she invited everyone there to join her. What kinds of conversations are you having with Lafayette residents right now about the protests of the past week or so, and specifically the city's response to them, starting back with last Sunday's larger protests downtown?
Well, I do have an appointment with that young lady, and I heard that she invited people, but I told her she could bring two or three people, and we'd have a couple people from the police department and there, and we could answer all of her questions. And then if she wanted to have a forum later, we get past July 4th here with the COVID, that we'd be happy to have participate in a forum with her group. That's something we'd be happy to do. I've met with the NAACP last week with their leadership team, myself, several of the police chiefs, and we're working on planning an event with the NAACP on a town forum, and then also a community outreach event, a fun event to bring people together and law enforcement together. We've had a Zoom meeting with a group of pastors and religious leaders in the community that are very interested in being a part in looking at how we build relationships, things that police departments can do, how we look at interactions in the police department with our community. And so, you know, we've been doing either Zoom, that we did do face-to-face with the NAACP, but we kept it small so we could set 6 feet apart during the meeting. And then, like I said, we plan to do more after the COVID, hopefully July 4th, things kind of do stay calm and we don't get any spikes and we all feel a little more comfortable doing some of those things. You know, we'll continue those dialogues. We're working right now on putting some documents up on our Facebook or on our webpage at the City and Police Department, kind of outlining what we do in response to some of the questions that we've had. So people will have a resource to go to and then the ability to send us follow-up questions if they'd like to do it like that also. So we're beginning those phases. Like I said, we do have to keep in mind that COVID is not over and that we do all still need to be careful. I can tell you I got a lot of, I did get a decent amount of negative response from people at the first protest about the protest in general and what that meant for COVID and the fact that we did shake some hands while we were out there. And, you know,
what did you tell those people?
I said, well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I'm kind of threading the needle here. That was a very important event, and the people needed to hear from us, and we needed to be a part of that. And, I probably shouldn't have shook hands, but sometimes that's just a reaction, right, a natural reaction when you're doing that. It wasn't something where we were intentionally just disregarding the COVID protocols, but sometimes, you know, the moment calls for that type of interaction on an issue of this importance. So, you know, it's one of those, it's just part of the situation. There were people that thought that we should have been much stronger in our response to the protesters. There were people that thought we should have been done less than we did. So, you know, we kind of got it from both sides and then from the COVID side. But again, I think Mayor Dennis and myself and Commissioner Brown all feel like we did the right thing by going out there. And we did wear our mask for a lot of it, except while we were talking. And we tried to, you know, do the right thing and do it as safely as we could.
So it sounds like you're saying you got a variety of responses to what happened
yes,
on that evening on both sides of the issue. I actually, a listener reached out to the station and asked if they don't intend to go to a protest, how they can voice their opinion about what happened to the city.
Well, we've had lots of people email us. I mean, that's one of the easiest way. I would also invite them to continue to watch once the COVID is over. Like I said, we're in the process of planning a big event with the NAACP that will be a combination of fun things, but also a town hall forum where I'll be speaking, and Mayor Dennis and the police chiefs, and people can ask questions. And my guess is, working with these pastors and this other religious group, that they will also be working with us to host some outreach events with people. And then I'm gonna meet with this young lady, I think it's next Monday or Tuesday, I don't recall exactly, and I'm sure that we're going to talk about some potential outreach events there. So I think there is, you know, going to be lots of ways to do that. And like I said, and there'll be some information that goes up on the websites that we can do. And again, you know, with some of the other departments too, I know Sheriff Goldsmith has explained several times to people why the sheriff's department dropped the tear gas at the courthouse, and what was taking place with the bricks and the shot that was fired through the window and the explosive device, and why he made that decision to do the tear gas at the courthouse there. And so I think there'll be, you know, we've tried to be out on the media also talking about things. So I think there'll be ample things. I mean, we understand that this is a long-term process, and that's what we want here in our community. We don't want this to kind of be a flash in the pan, right? We want people to take time to get educated on what we do, and then we work with them to see if there are meaningful changes that we can make. But if they know better training that we can get, I was talking with the NAACP, we do implicit bias training at the police department. We do de-escalation training. We have 80 policemen that are certified through NAMI as what we call CIT officers, that to deal with people with mental illness and addiction issues. We have lots of people trained in a variety of different specialties, but if people know additional training, or if they know like where we can get better training than we've been able to find, we're certainly open to that. And we talked about that at the NAACP meeting also. And so we want this to be a continuing dialogue. I've already had some people say, hey, I'd be interested in potentially serving on the merit board when an opening becomes available. And we've talked to people about that. So this is a good dialogue to have, because I think people are getting interested and more educated. And that's what we like to do in this community, come together and stand together and make long-term meaningful changes. And I think that's why we've been successful from a law enforcement standpoint, from quality of life standpoint, from economic development standpoint, because all of those things are important for people to have the type of life. You know, Mayor Dennis and I, every year we go to the Pride Festival downtown here in our community and speak about inclusion. And all of those things are important for people to have that quality of life that we want them to have, to feel comfortable here, to be able to raise their families, get a good job, you know, do those types of things that make this a great place to live, is that we come together and look, you know, to find solutions. And we know we need to stay on guard. Thank goodness we did our research. We've never had an in-custody death in the Lafayette Police Department as far back as we can find records. We've never had an in-custody death. And, you know, but that doesn't mean it can't happen if we don't stay vigilant on training and working with our community. And so some of the things that's happened to other places, thank goodness, we've actually never had them happen here. But we need to do everything we can to keep it that way. And if there are ways we can do things better, or find better training, or build additional relationships that helps us understand and be more sensitive to different groups in the community and understand their position. You know, I had a huge Zoom meeting with all the football coaches from the Lafayette Jeff football team, all the football coaches from the Central Catholic football team, and then a bunch of their kids, their players that are considered their leadership team. And we went through the incident and we talked about their experiences here in the community. And they got to share with me, and some of the African-American coaches got to share. And again, but they want to be part of the solution. They want to get themselves and their team involved in activities that we can do that build relationships in the community in a positive way. And so, you know, had that big conversation, lasted almost a couple hours. We did it all by Zoom, which made it a little bit hard with that many people, but you know, we got through it, and it went very well. And I think you'll continue to see those types of outreach effort, that type of dialogue taking place. And I think that's very constructive to ensure long-term, meaningful, and sustainable solutions that'll continue to make Lafayette and West Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, a great place to live.
What are the biggest lessons, though, that you're taking away from a big conversation like that? You know, hours of hearing stories from people, you know, if you had to say, this is the biggest lesson I've learned, and then this is what I need to do about it.
What
would you say?
I think the biggest lesson that I've, two of them, I think one, we need to work on our communication with people on what we do and why and what we're doing. And we need to make sure that line of communication is wide open for people coming back to us if they see there are gaps in what we're doing, or that we haven't accurately perceived a situation, or in particular the way somebody else of a different race or nationality or background might perceive the situation or experiences that they're bringing to the table that we don't have. And we can't walk perfectly in their shoes. And so we don't have that perspective. And so making sure that that communication is open. And so as we form policies, as we form training, we're taking all that into. And then, you know, I've asked every group I've talked to, please help us attract, you know, candidates for a police department that reflect our community. We have some African Americans, we have some Hispanic, we have some, we have an Indian, but we don't have as much diversity within the police department that we would like to have. And we have went to college campuses, we have traveled, we use videos, you know, but we would like to just increase our pool of qualified candidates to reflect our community, and I've asked them to help us with that also.
That is our time for today. Mayor Rozworski, thanks so much for being with us. You can find
Thank you, Emily.
You can find this program at our website, wbaa.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Remember, you can send us your questions for all of those mayors to ask@wbaa.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.